بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد. Alhamdulillah, we should all thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala has gathered us to remember Him. These are very noble gatherings where Allah is being remembered. There are certain angels who are on the lookout of such gatherings where the zikr of Allah is being made. And the hadith says when these angels find such gatherings, they start calling other angels. Just like when, you know, when we find a very good deal on something, right? When there's a sale going on and we find a great deal, we tell our friends, right? Hey, this is what you were looking for. You can find it here. Similarly, these angels are always on the lookout of such gatherings where people are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they find such gatherings, they start calling each other. And the way the angels gather is different from the way humans gather. You know, humans, we start sitting and we make a gathering like that, ishtima like this. But the angels, they stack on top of each other. They pile up on each other. And hadith says that so many angels gather that the space between the earth and the sky becomes full of angels. Imagine, how many, Allah knows best, how many angels would that be? So sometimes you get affected by numbers, right? Oh, today we didn't get too many people. That's human nature, we get affected by numbers. But we are surrounded by so many angels that we can't even imagine. And these angels reach the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They reach the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even though Allah ta'ala is all knowing, Allah ta'ala asks the angels, where are you coming from? So the angels tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, these brothers are sitting in Durban, South Africa, and Masjid al-Hilal, they are remembering you. And Allah ta'ala asks them, that what are they asking for? What do they need? So the angels, they tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, they are asking for Jannah. Allah ta'ala asks them, have they seen Jannah? Has anyone of us seen Jannah? Nobody has seen Jannah. We have Iman on Ghaib. So the angels say, no, they haven't seen Jannah. So Allah ta'ala says, what if they had seen Jannah? What if they had actually seen Jannah with their own eyes? Then the angels say, oh Allah, had they seen Jannah, if they had seen Jannah, then they would have remembered you and they would have asked for it with even more zeal, with even more jazbah. So Allah ta'ala says, what are they seeking refuge from? What are they seeking refuge from? So the angels say, oh Allah, they are seeking refuge from Jahannam. Then Allah ta'ala says, have they seen Jahannam? Have they seen the hellfire? The angels say, no, ya Allah, they haven't seen Jahannam. So Allah ta'ala asks them, what if they have actually seen Jahannam with their very own eyes? Then the angels say, oh Allah, if they had seen Jahannam, they would have sought refuge from Him with even more fear. So Allah ta'ala tells the angels, oh my angels, be witness that I have forgiven all of them. So how many angels? On the day of judgment, Allah will be the judge, right? A court will be set up and each and every person will have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give an account of all his deeds. And we know that, you know, in a court, you have to bring witnesses. So all these angels from the earth until the skies, all these angels will come to witness us on the day of judgment. Oh Allah, on that day of April 17th in the Durban, you made the decision to forgive all these people. So that is why we should never consider these gatherings light. You know, wherever the word of Allah is being made, these gatherings are huge in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, today we take it very lightly. We get, oh, just a few brothers sitting over here remembering Allah. You know, in Chicago, we have this gathering. It's an IT conference. And people from all over the world come for it. And I've heard from people about 1 million people, all the smart professionals, great minds, they come over there for that conference. But there's no mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that gathering. There's no mention of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that gathering. So this gathering, just a few brothers where we are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is better than that big gathering of all the intellectuals of the world where the name of Allah is not being mentioned. This is the yaqeen that we should have, that even though this gathering might be small in our eyes, but this gathering is huge in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just the word Allah, just the word Allah, this is enough to stop the day of judgment from coming. Imagine, it comes in the hadith that there, if there's one person, imagine the whole world is full of kufr and shirk. There is one man sitting in the corner in his house and saying, Allah, Allah. Because of this one man, Allah will run the whole system of the world. Allah will run the whole system of the world. People in America sitting in their houses will get risk because of this one person saying, Allah, Allah. The birds flying in the sky are getting their risk because of this one person. The animals in the jungles are getting their risk because of this one person saying, Allah, Allah. So this is the value of the name of Allah. So that is why we should never undermine, we should never underestimate gatherings where Allah is being remembered. Is written in Fadail Amal also, that Allah Ta'ala distributes His blessings, His bounties amongst the people on a daily basis, every day. So today, right now, maybe somebody would be getting married right now. Maybe somebody just had a baby. Maybe somebody just graduated today. Or maybe somebody, you know, became a grandfather, so on and so forth. But the biggest bounty, the biggest blessing that a person can get in a single day is the ability to remember Him. So our sitting over here remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest bounty that we could have got. The greatest thing that we could have got. We are sitting in the masjid, in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the best places in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We could have been at the beach right now. We could have been at the marketplace right now. But we are sitting in a majlis where Allah is being remembered, where we are sitting in the house of Allah, remembering Him. And this is a sign that Allah is also remembering us amongst the angels. Allah is remembering us amongst the angels. There is no doubt, because Allah says in the Quran, remember me and I will remember you. So we are sitting over here remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever we sit in any such gathering where zikr of Allah is being made, where the talk of greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being made, we should ponder over these fadail. Imagine, we should actually imagine that the angels are surrounding us. And the angels are piling on top of each other, and they have already reached the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this conversation of angels and Allah is being going on. And very soon our forgiveness will be announced for all of them. So much so that the hadith said that one person, he wasn't even part of that gathering. He just came to meet one of the brothers. Maybe he wanted to get visa for America and he wanted to talk to one brother from Chicago. It could happen, right? So he just wanted to, he sat for a little bit and he said, oh, this bayan is too long, I'm going to leave. So he left. Allah Ta'ala says that even that person who was not part of this gathering, he just came for his own sake and he sat for a little bit. Even that person will not be deprived of the mercy of Allah. The forgiveness will be announced for that person also. So my dear respected brothers and elders, this life of this world is very short and we need to utilize the time properly. You know, Allah Ta'ala is promising by the time in the Quran. Why? Because this time is a melting capital and we have to invest our time properly. You know, a businessman, if you talk to a businessman, he will make sure that he will invest his capital in places where he expects the maximum return. There are many businessmen in South Africa, even we have some in our Jamaat also, you can ask them. They always try to invest their capital in something that would give them the maximum return. So this time that Allah has given us is very precious, extremely precious. And this time is running away very quickly. You know, I can remember clearly when I was a kid like this, and already my beard is turning grey. So the time flies very quickly. We do not know when the angel of death will come to us. That is why Allah Ta'ala, He has very clearly defined success in the Quran so that we people do not get deviated. And Allah is very loving. Allah is very merciful. Allah loves His slaves. That is why Allah used to send prophets and they used to make effort on the hearts of the people. All the Anbiya that came, they made effort on the hearts of the people. And what was their effort? What was the effort of Anbiya? They used to make this effort that how can the heart of a human, the love of dunya could go away and the love of akhirat could come in. The love of maal could go away and the love of amal could come in. And the love of makhluk could go away and the love of khaliq, one Allah, could come in. So Rasulullah ﷺ, he also made the same effort on the sahaba. Same effort. And all the prophets came with the same kalma, la ilaha illallah. La. So in this kalma, the kalma starts with negation, la, that it's a negation of all the creation, everything other than Allah. You know, when we are sitting in our jobs, when we are sitting in our businesses, slowly but surely the yakin of that shop, the yakin of that business creeps in our heart. Just like an ant. You know, if you're sitting, sometimes in Pakistan, you're in Jamaat, and, you know, an ant is crawling on you, and you don't even realize, you know, suddenly when it reaches there, it's like, oh my God. So, similarly, you know, when a person is sitting in the street, he doesn't even realize, and the yakin, the filthy yakin of the ghair of Allah, of his shop, is going into his heart. The yakin of his business is going. Imagine, he's a person is spending 8 to 10 hours talking about his business, talking about his shop. That is why the yakin of Allah, yakin of the ghair of Allah, yakin of that shop, yakin of that business gets into the heart. That is why an effort is to be made to talk about the greatness of Allah. You know, Allah Ta'ala Himself says in the Quran that if all the insan, they gather together, imagine, the insaniyat, it started from Adam alayhi salam until today and until Allah knows best how many people will. If everyone starts to get together and if all the oceans become ink, we just went to the beach yesterday, you know, the ocean seems endless, right? Imagine if all that ocean, all the Indian Ocean becomes ink. And not just the Indian Ocean, all the Atlantic Ocean, all the Pacific Ocean, all that water becomes ink. And all the trees, if you start making pens out of those trees, Allah knows best how many pens can be made from one tree, but imagine if you start making pens out of all those trees, and all the insan, all the jinnat, they start writing the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, a time will come that the oceans will dry up. The pens will break, but the greatness of Allah will not end. And then Allah says, even if you bring the same amount of ink, same amount of pens, and start writing the greatness of Allah again the ink will dry up, again the pens will break, but the greatness of Allah will not finish. So we are not capable of truly defining the greatness of Allah, but we talk about greatness of Allah the same way Allah describes Himself in the Quran. Allah describes His sifat, that Allah is Khaliq, Allah is the creator. You know, imagine if a person is an artist and he has to make a picture of someone and you give him a task that, okay, draw a picture and you close down all the lights. There's no light. You won't be able to do anything. But Allah Ta'ala makes insan in the wombs of the mother where there's no light. And so beautifully Allah creates insan. We are about maybe 50, 60 brothers sitting. Each person is different. You can recognize each person's face. Even though a face is hardly this, maybe a palm's, you know, length. In such a small area, Allah Ta'ala makes each person's face so different that you can easily recognize different people. You can easily recognize. So much so that even the voice is different. You know, when someone calls us, we are able to recognize who that person is. Each person's voice is different. Not only that, You know, if you come to America, they always take your fingerprints, right? They say, okay, put your hands over there. Why do they do that? You know, because each person's fingerprint is different. Imagine if, no matter how smart a person may be, if you ask him that, if you give him a page and say, try to make different designs on it, even the best of the best artists, how many designs will he be able to make? In this much of, you know, hardly, I think this would be an inch, in this much of, you know, area, Allah Ta'ala has made so many designs that each and every person's pattern, fingerprints are different. And we, human beings, are able to recognize, this is used as an identity, right? In iPhones, you can now basically, using your thumb, you're able to sign in. So each and every person's fingerprints are different. This is the beauty of the creation of Allah. This is how great Allah is. This is the khalq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how beautiful Allah ta'ala creates. Allah is the one who sustains. Allah is the one who is all hearing. You know, our hearing is such that our hearing is very limited. You know, if my wife is talking to me and I am looking, I can, sometimes it happens, right? We are looking in a phone and we ignore our family and they get upset at us, right? So if two people start talking to me at the same time, what do you do? Hey, you know, I can't understand what he's saying. Especially coming from America, it's very hard for us to understand South African accent sometimes. No offense. But, you know, it's difficult, right? Even though it's the same language, just the dialect or accent change is hard to understand. So imagine two people talking in different languages. One is talking in English, other is talking in French. Even if you know both languages, you won't be able to understand. One person is, the whole world together, 8 billion people, if they start talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same time in their different languages, Allah will be able to listen to each and every person at the same time. This is how, when we say Allah is Sami, Allah is all hearing. Not only that, Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, if I whisper, if you're going to whisper in someone's ears, right? If I whisper in brother's ears, you know, this brother won't be able to understand what I said. But Allah Ta'ala says, even if you whisper in someone's ears, I will be able to hear that also. And not only that, even the thoughts that come in our heart that nobody else knows, Allah knows those thoughts also. So where can we go? We cannot run from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how, you know, and Allah Ta'ala says, won't Allah know? Allah is the one who created us. Allah is the one who created us. So who won't know other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So it is Allah who is all hearing. You know, we hear this example a lot in bayans, that if a black ant is crawling on a black mountain in the dead of the night, Allah is able to listen to the footsteps of that ant. Not only that, Allah is able to see that ant, not even that ant, but the line that is being drawn on that black mountain because of the crawling of that ant. Allah is able to see those lines also, those patterns also. And Allah knows what is going on in the heart of that ant, and Allah hears the footsteps of that ant. This is Allah. So my dear spiritual brothers, this is the greatness of Allah that we need to talk about. We need to listen to the greatness of Allah so that the greatness of Allah can come in our hearts. Allah is my sustainer. You know, sitting in our jobs, especially these days in America, there are a lot of layoffs going on. People are very scared. You know, even they're making hundreds and thousands of dollars. People are saying, oh my God, what is going to happen if I lose my job? AI is taking over. You know, people have all these discussions. So that is why it is very important to negate all this. You know, once I was in Dallas and one of the ulama over there, he mentioned this hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, close meaning is that iman gets worn out. Iman gets worn out. Just like clothes get old, right? Clothes get worn out. So renew your iman. Renew your iman. And sahaba asked, how can we renew our iman? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, say la ilaha illallah frequently. So that Alim Maulan Sahib, he was saying that I always thought that this means just taking a tasbih in hand and saying La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. There's no doubt that that's also part of it. But he said that Allah gave him that understanding that whenever the ghair of Allah is mentioned in front of you, you should always negate it. There's no, this is not true. But Allah is the one who says it. So if somebody tells you, you know, oh, what is going to happen if we lose our job? If we are not going to tell him that Allah is the one who sustains, whether we have a job or not, then the yakin of that statement will come in our heart. So that is why it is very important to keep, and you know, something that is precious, you keep it very secure, right? For example, if you have a piece of gold, if you have a gold ring, right? You keep it in a lock box. Some people store it in banks. You keep it very secure. But if, you know, if it's just maybe, I don't know how much is 1 rand, but maybe a coin of 1 rand, you know, it's lying somewhere, most likely nobody would care that much, right? So Iman is the most valuable asset that we have. Iman is the most valuable asset that we have. So that is why we need to be very cautious. What are we hearing? What are we saying? Because the words that we utter, the words that we hear, they have an effect on our heart. So that is why we should be very cautious, whether we are at our business, whether we are in our jobs, at our shop. We should never say things which are against La ilaha illallah. We should never say things like that. Oh, how am I going to pay my bills if I lose my job? Oh, you know, business is going down, what's going to happen? If somebody says that, immediately refute that statement. No, my brother, we are not being sustained because of my business, our businesses, our jobs. It is Allah who sustains us. Allah can sustain without the job, with the job, without the business, with the business. Allah is the one who sustains. Imagine, you know, Fir'aun was a king, right? And he had a lot of power. You know, these days, people are scared of superpowers, right? People think that, oh, you know, president of that country has a lot of power. But imagine a king that is killing your children in front of you, and he has so much awe that you can't even say anything in front of him. Can you imagine the level of cruelty, level of power that that person has? This was Fir'aun. So he had all the might and power, and he wanted to make sure that Musa al-Islam should not be born. Not only Musa al-Islam was born in his area, but Musa al-Islam was raised in his own palace through his own money. He is the one who gave the money for the upbringing of Musa al-Islam. So if Allah wanted, Allah could have taken away his kingdom, right? Allah could have snatched away his kingdom. But Allah wanted to show us. These stories in the Quran are not fairy tales. You know, these are not fairy tales or bedtime stories. These are real incidents that happened in the past, that Allah is narrating, to revealing on Rasulullah for the tarbiyat of this ummah. For the tarbiyat of this ummah. So that our yaqeen becomes strong, that it is really Allah who is the sustainer. It is Allah who is the creator. It is Allah who is the doer. You know, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, the water that you drink. You know, these are small things that we don't even notice. Just like I drank a simple water, I myself, in giving bayan, I didn't think about it. The water that we drink, is this water, is it we who have created this water, or is it Allah who gives us this water? Imagine if the whole water of Durban, it becomes bitter. Can we do anything? The whole water becomes bitter. We can't do anything. Allah is saying, Allah is the one who sends down rain from the heavens. And that water, you know, water, the quality of water is, if it sits for a long time, it goes bad. Right? So if Allah would have given us all the water for a month supply at once, where would we store it? You know, mashallah, you guys have big houses in South Africa. In America, we have very small houses. You know, sometimes it's hard to keep our children. Also, I have 6 kids. You know, it's hard to accommodate sometimes. But Allah is the one, you know, Allah sends down water from the heavens, and Allah stores that water on the top of the mountains in the form of ice. So the water doesn't go bad. When it's in the form of ice, it doesn't go bad. And then Allah has made a whole irrigation system in the whole world. In the whole world. That through glaciers, the water seeps down from the mountains. And it spreads all over the earth. So that is why wherever we dig water, you know, I think they call it bore, right? Boring, and we call it boring in Pakistan, whatever. So if we dig a well, we find water in there. And Allah stores the water in the ponds, in the lakes, in the rivers, so that the birds and the animals and even the humans, they can benefit from that water. So this is a whole system that Allah has created. So when we drink water, we think, I just got a bottle from Checkers or Walmart and just drank or whatever, you know. But these little things that we do, just drinking, imagine, you know, how Allah Ta'ala created this water. You know, the brothers mentioning after Asr, you know, the system of oxygen, the air that we breathe. You know, how easily we breathe air, we don't even realize. We don't even think that we're breathing, right? Do you think? You know, I mean, when we're sleeping, of course, we don't know. When we are busy, we don't know. When we are at our... if you really have to think about it, you really have to imagine, I'm breathing and I'm benefiting from the oxygen. And the brother was right. In the time of COVID, we realized that, you know, one tank of oxygen, if somebody, God forbid, if we really needed it, you know, externally, how hard would that be? You know, we have a doctor in Chicago, and during COVID times, I think his lungs got affected. And now, throughout his life, he has to keep pipe and some device with him so that he can breathe properly. Now, he's a doctor. He's treating patients. He goes to the clinic. But he himself has this thing attached to him. The line goes on all over this clinic, and he has to stay attached to it. Even when he comes to the medical, he comes with the box. So these are the bounties and blessings of Allah that you don't even realize. You don't even think about these. When we wake up, we are, you know, breathing in, breathing out. You know, once I went to the doctor in Chicago, and, you know, they gave me some vaccination, and I don't know, I started to pass out because of that vaccination. So they gave me some oxygen, you know, at that time. And it felt really good, you know, to breathe through that thing. But then they gave me a bill, here, so you use this oxygen here, the bill. In America, medical bills are very high. So I thought at that time, you know, Allah gives us oxygen all the time. Allah never gave us a bill. Have you ever received a bill from Allah? Oh, okay, you used oxygen all this day. Okay, here's the bill. Allah is giving all these ni'mas for free. Even the fruits that we eat, the banana that we eat, Allah is not charging us for that. It is the people, you know, somebody must have, you know, cultivated it, and somebody must have plucked it from the trees for the transportation, and the checkers, they charge you for the electricity and all that, and for the delivery. But Allah is giving you all these ni'mah for free. The water is free, the fruits are free. Allah is not charging you for that. So these are ni'mahs and bounties. Sometimes, you know, we think, look at people who are above us in terms of dunya, and we feel deprived. And you think, I don't have anything, you know. I barely have a job. I don't even own a house. You know, what kind of a car do I drive? Look at that person's car. Rasulullah said, when a person wakes up, and he has three blessings. If he has three blessings, what are those three blessings? He has health. So he wakes up, he's healthy. His head is not aching. His stomach is not aching. His foot is not sore. He's healthy. Second thing, he has peace. Nobody is running after to kill him, right? Nobody is, you know, trying to torture him or harass him. He's at peace. And the third thing, he has the sustenance for that day. He has the risk for that day. Rasulullah ﷺ said, this person who has these three things, he has all the blessings of the whole world together at his feet. SubhanAllah. Imagine. And today we think, I don't have anything. Look at that person. You know, he has so many cars. He has a big house, bigger house than me. So in the terms of in dunya, there will always be someone above you. So that is where Rasulullah said, look at people who are below you in the dunya. And look at the people who are ahead of you in the deen. So my dear brothers and elders, we have to bring the yakin of Allah Ta'ala in our hearts. And we take out the yakin of the ghair of Allah. And at the same time, you know, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is our Nabi. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is our role model. He is our example. You know, in America, if you ask young guys, they really, they have role models who are basketball players. In over here, maybe cricket players, I don't know, soccer or whatever. In Pakistan, there's a lot of craze for cricket. You know, people look up to sportsmen or look up to celebrities. They try to be like them. So we don't need you know, role models like these. Allah is saying in the Quran that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best example for us. So we should try to follow his sunnah, because our complete success lies in following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to keep saying that and hearing that, so that the yaqeen gets into our heart that my success is not in any other way. In fact, I'm going to be a big loser if I deviate from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that, O Prophet, tell these people, if they claim to love Allah. So how many of us sitting over here would say, oh, I don't love Allah. I really doubt, you know, anybody would say that, right? All of us, we are Muslims, we claim to love Allah. Even if you ask a child, do you love Allah? He says, yeah, I love Allah. But they say the proof is in the pudding. What is the proof? How can you prove that you really love Allah? There has to be some kind of a criteria, right? How can you say this person loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because everybody is claiming they love Allah. So Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that, O Prophet, tell these people, if they claim to love Allah, then what do they need to do? They need to follow you. They need to follow the Prophet. So this is the sign. If a person has sunnah in his life, then he has the love of Allah. And what would Allah give on following the sunnah? What would Allah give in following the sunnah? Allah Ta'ala says, then I will love him. Imagine, you know, if Allah is saying that I love this person, what kind of life would that person have whom Allah loves? Whom Allah loves? Allah who is the doer, who is the controller of the whole universe. And he is saying, I love this slave of mine. And how can we get that? Through the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Allah, not only that, Allah Ta'ala says, then I will forgive his sins also. And Allah is Ghafoor, Allah is Rahim. You know, when we hear the word sunnah, many times what comes in our mind is having a beard, wearing a topi or imama, libas. You know, these are, no doubt this is also a sunnah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a whole lifestyle. What was his character in his home? Many times, you know, we have very good, you know, and we come in the masjid with a smiling face, we shaking hands with brothers, you know, we go to, in Gasht, especially brothers who are involved in Tabligh, we go to Gasht, you know, even if someone smacks the door at us, we keep a smiling face, you know, and we just leave. We don't say anything to them. But when we come home, what happens? If my wife smacks the door at me, what will happen? So, where is that character? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was once with Javeriya radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. And at night time, so over in those times, you know, there were no toilets like we have over there inside the homes. So the people had to go outside to relieve themselves. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went outside the home to relieve himself. Now, while he was out, Jabiriyya radiallahu ta'ala anhu noticed that he is not here, and of course, Rasulullah had multiple wives. So, she thought that maybe he went to another wife while it's my turn. She got really upset. See, she locked the door. He said, he can stay outside. And Rasulullah, he came back. Now, when he came back, he is knocking at the door, and she's saying, no, you can go to your other wife. You don't need. Imagine if your wife doesn't let you in the middle of the night. You know, he come home, she's not opening the door. How would I respond to that? So Rasulullah said, no, you know, I went to relieve myself. So she said, no, you're lying. So Rasulullah said, no, I am a Nabi of Allah, I do not lie. She said, oh my God, yeah, he's a Nabi of Allah, he won't be lying. So she opened the door. And Jawariya says, when Rasulullah entered the home, his face was smiling. He was smiling. So this is the ikhlaq of we think sunnah is just having a beard and wearing a topi. It's not that easy. You know, we have to bring the ikhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his home. Many times, you know, especially Indian Pakistani men, we expect our wives to do everything at home. We need to help our wives. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do all his own things. At least we should be doing our own stuff ourselves, right? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to help his wives in doing the household chores. So we should have this is also a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah used to never say no to a beggar. He never in his lifetime, he never said no to a beggar. This is also sunnah of Rasulullah. So we have to look at the complete lifestyle of Rasulullah and bring that sunnah. Once we bring the complete sunnah of Rasulullah in our lives, that's when Allah will start loving us. And Allah will put the love of us in the hearts of the people also. You know, it comes in hadith that when a person is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know what happens? Allah ta'ala starts loving him, and Allah tells Jibreel al-Islam, "O Jibreel, I love Falah ibn Falah in Durban, South Africa. You should also love him." So when Allah orders Jibreel al-Islam to love that person, Jibreel al-Islam starts loving him. Then Jibreel al-Islam, he makes an announcement in the heavens that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this person, and I, Jibreel, love this person. All of you should love this person. So all the angels of the heavens, they start loving this person. And these angels, they descend on the heavens, on the earth, and they make this announcement, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, angel Jibreel, we all the angels of the heavens, we love this person. All of you should love this person. So the love of this person is spread all over the world, so much so that even the fish in the sea, the animals in the jungles, and the whole creation, they start loving this person. So this is what happens when we are going to truly follow the deen. And you know, that's why sometimes we meet a very pious person. Even if we don't know him, we feel an attraction towards him, right? I'm sure it has happened. There are a lot of pious people in South Africa, so you should be able to feel that. So, alhamdulillah, when you see a pious person, even if you don't know him, we have never met him before, but we have a love for him in his heart. This is the same love. That is why, you know, hadith says, when for the ulama and for the fasting person, the fish in the sea and animal in the jungles make dua for maghfirah for this person. Who put that love in the fish in the sea? Who put that love in the animals of the jungles? And today, if my life is such that even my wife hates me, then what kind of dindari is this? If my children hate me, if my children they are waiting for the dad to die so that we can get the inheritance, you know, what kind of a life is this? You know, we've seen these things happening in America especially. You know, our akhlaq is such that even our own families, they don't like us. Our own families are not getting involved in the effort of deen because of my akhlaq, because of my bad character. So that is why, you know, whenever we talk about the sunnah of Rasulullah, we should think of his complete lifestyle, how he used to treat his wives. Today, if somebody, you know, asks me that, who do you love? You know, if I say, oh, I love my wife, you know, people will feel very shy saying that. I don't know about South Africa, but that's the Desi culture normally. People don't say this thing. But when somebody used to ask Rasulullah, who you love the most, he used to say Aisha. He used to take the name of his wife. So there's no shyness in this. There's no shyness in this. So we need to love our family. We need to give them the respect, the honor, and treat them the way Rasulullah used to treat them. And my dear brothers and elders, on the Day of Judgment, the first thing that will be questioned on the Day of Judgment will be about Salah. A person whose Salah is correct, his rest of the deen will also be correct. If Salah is defective, the rest of the deen will also be defective. You know, sometimes people say, oh, you know, Salah is just a brick in the whole house. We need to help the people. We should be kind to others. That is the real deen. But Rasulullah ﷺ is saying that the example of Salah in deen is like the example of head in a human body. So have you ever seen a person without a hand? Of course, I think you must have seen it, right? A person without a hand. If you go to Pakistan, there are beggars who, I don't know if they're professional or what, but they don't have both legs. Sometimes, you know, the legs are not there, the hands are also not there. They do weird stuff, you know. Even in Chicago, once we were doing Gasht, you know, and I went to this brother and I invited him to the masjid. And he said, I told him, you know, if you could come to the masjid. He said, come inside. And I went inside. He said, this is my son. And I was shocked to see his son. His son did not have hands. He did not have legs. He could not speak. He could not see. But he was alive. He could not eat either. So the food was getting, you know, he was getting his nutrition through pipes. So life, the concept of life is there without even these faculties. But there's no concept of a human being without a head. So this is the importance of Salah. Just like there can be no existence of a human being without a head, there can be no existence of deen without Salah in your life. What kind of a Muslim this was if he cannot pray 5 times a day? Rasulullah said the difference between Iman and Kufr is the abandonment of Salah. And we are saying, oh, you know, just be nice to people, that's it. So we have to bring Salah, quality of Salah in our lives. And for men, we have to pray 5 times a day in the masjid. Today, we do not even give dawah towards 5 times Salah. You know, especially in America, I've noticed people don't even talk about 5 times Salah. They say it's not possible. One brother specifically told me, you know, we should not talk about 5 times Salah. It's not possible in America. That's what people say. You know, it's not possible. You know, it's impractical. That's what the word he used. It's impractical. People have work, they cannot pray 5 times a day. So my brothers, if we cannot even pray 5 times a day, what about the rest of the deen? So we have to make sure. You know, I have seen people with my own eyes, IT professionals in Chicago, they pray 5 times a day in the masjid. During meetings, during their office meetings, they take a break. I have to take a break. They go to the masjid, pray, and then come back. There are people like this living right now. So what excuse do we have? You know, Hazrat Abdullah bin Maktoum radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and you guys have bigger responsibility because you hear the azan also. In America, we don't hear the azan. Masajid are far, so Allah knows where there might be an excuse. But over here, mashallah, there are a lot of masajid and you hear the azan also. Hazrat Abdullah bin Maktoum, he was a blind sahabi. He asked Rasulullah, oh Ya Rasulullah, close meaning is that, Ya Rasulullah, it's very hard for me to come to the masjid at night time. You know, imagine at that time, it's dark, there were no lights. Only there could be snakes or scorpions or whatever. And he's blind. So how hard would it be for him to come to the masjid? So he was asking permission to pray at home. So Rasulullah initially said, okay, you can pray at home. Then Rasulullah said, do you hear the azan? Do you hear the azan? He said, yes, I do hear it. He was blind, but he was not deaf, right? So he said, yeah, I can hear it. He said, then you must respond to it. So what excuse do we have? We have nice cars, you know, tap water in our homes, nice warm water when it's cold. We don't have any excuse for not coming to the masjid. So my dear, we should make niyyah of all 5 times Salah in the masjid. In the masjid. And Allah is extremely pleased with the person who prays in the masjid. Allah is extremely, each time, imagine, you know, alhamdulillah, it has been almost 20 days in South Africa. We had a lot of feasts over here, alhamdulillah. So, Rasulullah said in a hadith, when a person comes to the masjid, every time he comes to the masjid, he will have a feast from Allah in Jannah. Imagine. So if Allah is the host, what kind of a feast would it be? Right? If Allah is the host, what kind of feast would it be? And for how many times? Each time you come to the masjid to pray, so 5 times a day, how many feasts? We'll be busy in Jannah, inshallah. So that is why we should never miss Salah with Jamaat. Always pray in the masjid. In the masjid. We don't have any excuse. You know, we should. And of course, you know, sometimes there are issues like our job is such that I cannot come to the masjid. But ask Allah. Ask Allah. Allah can do everything. Allah can change the nizam of this world for you. We have to ask. You know, it's not, you know, in America we have a lot of immigrants and people give a lot of sacrifice to come to America. You know, I don't want to get into the details, but sometimes people make weird kind of sacrifices. So it's not easy, right? But we do it. People are, when we have a goal in mind and you know that I'm going to get something, get success or get something of value out of this, people are ready to give their health, wealth and time for that. So if a person truly believes that my success is in 5 times Salah in the masjid, then we should at least a person should start making a plan. How should I be able to do it? Think about it. Right now, if I'm only able to come for Fajr and Isha, okay, what should I do to make sure to start coming for Zohar, Asr and Maghrib also? And start asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, if we are going to ask Allah with the sincerity of the heart, there is no doubt that Allah will find a way for us. There is no doubt. Allah will find a way for us. One brother, he was making dua. He was in itikaf this a few weeks ago. And he said that, you know, there was no chance that he could get work from home. The VP of that company told him that, you know, there's a big office in Chicago, everybody needs to come to the office, this and that. So he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And right after his itikaf, the company announced that the office is closing, everybody work from home. So Allah can change. The reason he wanted, because he wanted to pray in the masjid. So Allah can change things for you. Allah can do everything. We just have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my dear spirituals, you know, sometimes we who are involved in tabligh, especially in America, I can tell that we take ulama very lightly. We take ulama, we should have a deep love and respect for the ulama. Sometimes we do gasht, and you know, we do these amal of the masjid, and we start thinking, oh, what are these ulama doing? I'm the one who's doing all this effort of deen. We are doing the work of tabligh part-time. The ulama, they're doing the work of deen full-time. The ulama, they are the heirs of the prophets. They are the waratha of the anbiya. Even looking at an alim is ibadat. Going to an alim is ibadat. Asking masail from ulama, learning the deen from them. You know, I read in a hadith, close meaning is that Allah will gather the ulama on the day of judgment. Allah will gather all the ulama on the day of judgment. And Allah will say to the ulama that I did not give you the ilm so that I would punish you today. I gave you the ilm so that I would forgive you despite your faults, and I don't even care about the magnitude of your faults. And imagine if in my heart I am bearing ill will towards ulama, then what would be my condition? You know, Rasulullah said, his close meaning is that either become an alim or become a talib ilm, a seeker of knowledge, or be a listener to the ulama's. Close meaning is, I don't remember the exact words correctly, or be an attentive listener to the ulama, or be a lover of the ulama. Do not be of the fifth kind, otherwise you will be destroyed. And the fifth kind is that if you're bearing ill will and have a negative feelings towards ulama. So it's very important. You know, we will really mess up our akhirat if we have ill feeling towards our ulama. We should respect them from the depths of our hearts. From the depths of our heart, we should respect our ulama and go to them, learn the deen from them. They are the heirs of the prophets. So we should go and seek knowledge from them. One chapter of deen. If you're going to learn one chapter of deen, I think in one of the masajid it was written, these probably this masajid, I forgot which one, that it is better than praying 1,000 rakats of nafal salah. One chapter of deen. So how much reward are we going to get sitting with the ulama, benefiting from their company? And also, we have to establish the halkas of ta'aleem. You know, once I was in a graduation of a madrasa in America, in Indianapolis. We have a branch of Hasnain over there. And one alim who was graduating, he was from the family of a tabligh brother. And he was giving a graduation speech. And he said that the reason I am standing over here today is that my father used to do taleem at home every day. The reason I am standing over here today becoming an alim, because my father used to do taleem every day. And when I used to hear the stories of Sahaba, I used to sing, how can I become like them also? So when we'll do the taleem in our homes, living in America, living in a non-Muslim environment where there's so much fitna and fasad around, Allah will protect our progeny. Allah will protect our generation. Another brother, he is in Chicago. Our Chicago brothers know him also. So he told me personally, he said that once, you know, in our home, all of us, we woke up late and we missed Fajr, the whole home. And he said that, you know, we made wuzu and, you know, made istighfar, we prayed. And he said that my 9-year-old daughter, she was crying in the bathroom. he was crying that, oh Allah, what would happen? All of us will go to hellfire now because we missed our Fajr. 9-year-old daughter had so much fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She's crying. So he was saying, this is the benefit of doing the ta'leem. Today people are scared, oh, what is going to happen to my generation, right? They're on the phone all the time. We cannot take away the phones anymore. So we have to do this amil of ta'leem religiously. Every day we should do sometime. I don't know how long you do it over there, but sometime we should read the stories of Sahaba. When we read the stories of Sahaba, our children would love to become like them. They will have some role models in front of them. And my dear speakers, we have to bring the akhlaq of Rasulullah ﷺ, their lives. Rasulullah ﷺ said, the people who will be at the highest levels of Jannah will be those who have good akhlaq. And what is the summary of good akhlaq? To protect our tongue. A Muslim is one from whose tongue other Muslims are safe. Today I don't even care, you know. Sometimes, you know, I say, oh brother, you're doing backbiting. Oh, I can say it in front of him, I don't care. So if you have such bad akhlaq that you don't even care that person's there, it's still ghibat, right? And it's like eating the flesh of your dead brother. Who would like to do that? All of us, we want to eat zabiya, this and that. So eating the dead flesh of your own brother. So we need to save ourselves from it. You know, sometimes, you know, we think, oh, I've done so many good deeds. You know, shaitan makes our good deeds very beautiful for us. He will never make you think about your sins. You will, oh, mashallah, you're doing great. You're very pious. But we know if you think, sit down and think about ourselves, what we've done all our lives. And imagine all the good deeds that we have, someone else takes us. Because on the day of judgment, a person, you know, Rasulullah said, well, who is the bankrupt person of this ummah? Who will come with mountains of deeds, mountains of good deeds. But he would have slapped someone, he would have backbitten someone, he would have stolen someone's money. And all these people will take away his good deeds. And then there will be line waiting, still waiting for the rights. And then their bad deeds will begin. So this person never committed zina. He'll get the sin of zina because of backbiting. Imagine, he never drank in his life. He'll get the sin of drinking because of backbiting. And he will be thrown into hellfire. May Allah save us all. And my dear brothers, on the day of judgment, our amal will not be counted, they will be weighed. So in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever ikhlas that we have, you know, sometimes a small action that is done with ikhlas weighs like mountains. So that is why we should ask Allah for ikhlas. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last Nabi. No Nabi is going to come because of this khatme nubuwat. Allah has given us this huge responsibility that not only we have to bring deen in our lives, we have to make fikr for the whole alam. There are people waiting for us to go to them. You know, people, there are so many people in Europe. We were in Germany a few years ago. I was surprised there are so many Muslims in Germany. You know, there are so many Muslims in UK, in the whole Europe, China, Russia. We need to go to them to talk to them. You know, one brother from Pakistan, I was with him. He was telling me that he went to Russia in Jamaat. I forgot which year. He said that, you know, we went to the masjid, there's nobody there. There was just an imam over there. So we met him and we told him that we have come from Pakistan and, you know, we are here for the effort of deen. So, mashallah, I saw a brother who was with me in Pakistan last year. So, so he said that we told him why we came here. Just like, you know, when you meet an imam, you tell them the real purpose of coming. So that brother, he was a Russian Muslim, he started crying. He said, aapne bahut der kar di. You have come too late. We have lost everything. We have lost our deen. And he started crying. So he said, we made effort and he gave long carpentry. And he said, after 10 years, he went to Russia again. And he said, the situation had completely changed. So this is the beauty of the effort of Dawat. Even in South Africa, one brother was telling me that 50, 60 years ago, you guys couldn't find a hafiz over there. Same thing in America, same thing in England. So, but because of this effort of Dawat, you know, Allah Ta'ala changes the whole mahol, whole environment. So my dear respected elders, we request, you know, you guys are better in this effort than us. You know, we are weak. But the taqaza is 4 months every year. You know, Or you're already spending 4 months and your 4 months pedal. We can't even think about these things in America. But alhamdulillah, we request, you know, many of these brothers, they have come with a lot of sacrifice, you know, left their businesses, their jobs, their families, you know. Sometimes we think, oh, this person is a nobody. One brother, he was, you know, in Jamaat with me, he didn't even know English properly, he couldn't give bayan properly. He said that I left 7 children at home. My wife can't speak English, she cannot drive, she's in America. Imagine what level of, over there we don't have servants. So how they were managing. So the brothers give a lot of sacrifice. So we request, inshallah, give your names, stand up, inshallah, give your names. Especially those brothers who have not spent 4 months yet. Give niyyah for 4 months, inshallah.
Ji, mashallah. Let us make intention, inshallah. Mashallah. Come, brothers. Let us make niyyah, inshallah. Stand up, mashallah. Add the names on, please. Ji, mashallah. 4 months in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ji. Ji, mashallah. Ji, mashallah. Let us all make niyyat, inshallah. The desire must be in the heart to strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such an inspiring lecture by our brother, mashallah, from Chicago. What qurbani they have made. And so far they have come to us in the path of Allah to remind us about our responsibility. Ji, mashallah. Let us make intention. Mawlana Yahya. Ji. Mashallah. Haji Ahmad bhai. Imran bhai. From where, bro? Haji Ahmad Sheikh also. Ji, come, mashallah. One brother on that side there. Ji, mashallah. Mashallah. Let us all make intention, inshallah. Those of us who haven't spent 4 months, 4 months, inshallah, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, ji, go and learn the effort, mashallah. How do you sound? I don't know. Ji, mashallah. Mashallah, how do you sound? Ji, one brother, write his name down. Write his name down. Ji, mashallah. It's coming in the heart. Now we must express that desire. Show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our talab and our desire. Allah will accept us. It's not our wealth, it's not our capabilities, our abilities. It is only acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ji, mashallah. Muhammad bin Ismail. Ji, mashallah. Who else? Young and old, mashallah. He's in Ji, mashallah.
We need a jamaat for Chicago also. Especially, you know, there's a lot of need for English-speaking Mastura jamaats. So, if brothers could make niyyah for that, inshallah. We have an ijtima on July 3rd, 4th, 5th also.
Ji, mashallah. 4 months, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh. 4 months foreign, inshallah. 4 months pedal walking in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Closest to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. Let us make intention, inshallah. Imagine لَغَدْوَةٌ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَوْ رَوْحَ خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. One morning or one evening in the path of Allah is better than the entire dunya and whatever it contains. Let us make intention, inshallah. Shaitan will always make us afraid of this and that. الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرِ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ. The promise of Shaitan will make you afraid of poverty and he will command you to do indecent acts. But Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يَعِدُكُمْ مَغْفِرَةً مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلًا. Allah says, the promise of Allah is maghfirat from Allah. Forgiveness from Allah and wafadla. Whatever you spend, Allah will give you more. So let us put our nigah and our focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who will take us out. Ji, make intention, inshallah. Mawlana Ghulam Hussain, sir, mashallah. 4 months pedal, ji. Ji, mashallah. Who else makes niyat, inshallah? It's not a wada, it's not a promise, it's an intention. We make the intention, then we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming out in the path of Allah is for our own selves. Sometimes a person feels, no, I'm going to go in the path of Allah, I don't have enough knowledge. What I'm going to tell the people, I can't give bayan, I can't, no. We go in the path of Allah, it's for our own reformation. Sit in the halqa of ta'aleem. Words of Allah and His Rasul, our iman is getting made. We give in da'wat, our iman is getting made. We wake up for tahajjud, making a dhikr of Allah, tilawat of Quran in the environment of the masjid, where the malaika, the qualities of the malaika, not to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the things that we will benefit by coming out in the path of Allah. So let us make intention, inshallah. Gee. Come, brothers. Few more names, inshallah, for 4 months. Gee, Hussein bhai, mashallah. 4 months paidal, mashallah. One jamaat is there in the south coast. Who else makes niyat for 4 months paidal, inshallah, walking in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Gee. It's our need. Gee. MashaAllah, Bilal. Hafiz Bilal. Ji, mashaAllah. Make niyat, inshaAllah. Allah is a provider. Allah is a sustainer. We go in a path of Allah to learn this yaqeen. That Allah is sustaining us. Even the family at home, they will realize, it's not my husband. It's Allah who is sustaining us. It's Allah who is looking after us. The children will cry. Allah Ta'ala will send His help upon that. Their yaqeen will get made that Allah is a doer. Our elders say, dunya ko chorne se pehle chorna seeko. That before we leave this world, learn to part from our family, from our close ones. A time will come that we'll have to leave them forever, permanently. Gee, mashallah. I think, mashallah, the bayan also, it's not another bayan now. Let us make intention, inshallah. Anyone else for 4 months, inshallah, in the path of Allah? Gee. Put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Niyatul mu'min khayrun min amali. A person with iman, his niyat is so strong, that intention from the heart is so strong that it is even better than his action. If a person for some reason made an intention and he couldn't carry out that action, but that niyat, the thawab of the niyat is better than the action also. So we turn to Allah. Gee, let us encourage one another, inshallah. Those who are next to us, try and encourage them. Look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba radiallahu anhu, how they strove in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite all the odds against them. Gee, mashallah. Who else makes niyat, inshallah? Who says we'll go back to our masjid and make fikr, inshallah, for the 4 months jamaat? Gee, mashallah. We all should make niyat. Then inshallah, we'll go back to my masjid and make fikr, make mulaqats. It won't just come like that. You have to cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to make the mulaqats. Go and meet the people. Give the da'wat. Every mulaqat, our iman is getting made. We are negating the means. A person will tell you that I got to worry about this and that. Remind him that Allah is a doer. Gee, who makes niyat, inshallah? That from the masjid, inshallah, mashallah, Hafiz sahab. From the masjids, we make intention to take out a 4 month jamaat, inshallah. We'll draw a list of brothers. We'll make the mulaqats. Gee. Gee, inshallah, who is now? We can make tashkil, inshallah. Gee, mashallah. Now the next tashkil is for 40 days in the path of Allah, 40 days and 2 months in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we all should make intention, inshallah. Our yearly time, coming out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us make intention, inshallah. Individuals and also masjids. Gee, mashallah. 40 days only now. Gee, mashallah. Who makes intention? Every day an announcer from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announces, Allahumma a'ti munfiqan khalafa. Oh Allah, that person who spends in your path, give that person a much better replacement. Whatever we spend, Allah will replace it. Much more. Jee, Mawlana, mashallah. Masjid Muad bin Jabal, mashallah. Ibrahim bhai. Jee. Basha bhai. Which area? Overport, mashallah, Overport. Aji Ahmad Sheikh, mashallah, Phoenix, Sanford. Gee, let us make intention, inshallah. Nobody should get left out, inshallah. This is the minimum. at least that yearly time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 40 days in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 40 days of amal, 40 days of turning to Allah, giving dawat, that environment. Gee, today we are hearing so much about ghayrullah, everything besides Allah. From where? Muhammad Salim from where? Phoenix. MashaAllah. What Haji Ahmad? Gee. Now we have to negate everything and bring the greatness of Allah in our hearts, the fear of Allah in our hearts. Gee. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Who else makes niyat, inshaAllah? One day in the path of Allah, yawmun fi sabilillah, khayrun min alfi yawmin fi ma siwa, is better than 1,000 days not in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gee. Put our trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gee, come brothers. Gee, masjid wise inshallah. Let's speak masjid wise inshallah. To say inshallah we'll make fikr from our masjid to take out the jamaat inshallah. Maulana Faisal mashallah. Suleiman Bhai from Shepston. Maulana Faisal Hussain. Gee, which other masjid inshallah? We'll make fikr inshallah to take out the jamaat. It's a Pingo Beach inshallah. We'll make fikr. Gee. Avondale, mashallah, musallah, then make fikr for a jamaat, inshallah. Gee, Sherwood, mashallah. Henry Road, musallah al-ikhlas, gee. Cannon Avenue, mashallah. All the masajid, make intention. This is the minimum. The chilla in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At every given moment, there should be one jamaat out for chilla from our masjid in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gee, mashallah. Which area? Broad Street, mashallah. Asheville also, mashallah. Gee. Let us continue, inshallah. Chilla Jamaat. Gee, come, brothers. Whether it is, whether we are due to go India, Pakistan, whether we are due to go what you call foreign, or we are due to go local, but the Chilla Jamaat was moving the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gee. Which other areas make niyat, inshallah? From here? Salihin Sherwood. Peter Marisburg Masjid of Salihin, mashallah. Gee, mashallah. Mashallah. Tafakkur? Yeah, tafakkur now. Gee. All those brothers have made intention, mashallah, to come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are very, very fortunate, inshallah. Allah ta'ala has accepted us to make the niyat. Now, inshallah, some tafakkud and tarteeb will be made, inshallah. So, brothers are requested to please come onto your left hand side, my right hand side, and the brothers will sit with you, inshallah, there. Who's me? Muhammad Basa. Muhammad Bai Basa, mashallah. Amisab is requesting you to sit with the brothers, inshallah. All of us who made niyat, inshallah, let us come to my right hand side, inshallah. Gee. Even if anyone else is coming in their heart to come out in the path of Allah, they couldn't make it to stand up, let us come, inshallah, one side. Some tafakkud, some tarteeb, inshallah, will be made, inshallah. Gee, who's? Gee, mashallah. Acha. Also, there is a very important program that will be, fikr will be taking place after Hayatul Sahaba for all teachers, all educators, regarding a program for the teachers, when to have the program, some small mashwara will be taking place. So, all teachers and educators, inshallah, after the Hayatul Sahaba, they requested to come forward, inshallah, for a few minutes after Isha. In the meantime, the rest of us, inshallah, we can sit in our halkas, our different zones, and whatever takazas and have been put forward, inshallah, how we can make fikr to complete these takazas. Even in our halka mashwaras, those who are having halka mashwaras, we should try and, inshallah, fulfill these takazas and complete all these takazas, inshallah. We all do that, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallah, bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.